Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me. Thanks for staying with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. You're going to be glad you did because David Dossi is in the house, so to speak. David is our intellectual capital, intellectual property attorney in the Brain Trust. He's also my personal, my corporate intellectual property attorney. He's a partner with Gallagher and Dossi, which is an intellectual property law firm in the great state of Ohio, and he's our good friend. David, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Always a pleasure to be here.
It's good to have you back. Are we going to talk about trademark dilution?
Yes.
Is this where if the brand or the mark is used the wrong way, maybe it turns into a verb or something like that, and it winds up diminishing the value of the trademark?
Well, that's actually what's known as genericizing a trademark.
Like get me a Coke out of the Frigidaire.
Exactly.
When really it's a Kenmore refrigerator, and you're actually going to get a Pepsi.
Right, and that also reduces the value of a trademark.
Mm-hmm.
And the most classic example of that is Aspern and Xerox.
Xerox is the best one. See, I used to work for Xerox.
Right.
I worked for Xerox in the 70s and the early 80s. And they were very adamant about not letting us, by getting us to not let people say, go Xerox this for me.
Sure.
Well, because it might not have been on a Xerox machine. They didn't even want you to say it on their own machines.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted you to say, go make a copy of this on the Xerox machine.
Exactly. And a lot of corporations spend, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars building up the value of their brands and their trademarks, and something like that can just literally wipe it out.
Well, but in the 21st century, David, there are a few things that are a little bit different that is morphed a little bit. And I'll give you an example. I suspect that the two guys who started Google don't mind it if someone says, why don't you Google that? I bet they don't mind that because it's so unique. It's not that there aren't other search engines, but typically if you say I'm going to Google it, you actually do use Google.
Right.
So that's kind of changed a little bit, hasn't it?
I think that's a kind of the exception of a case. Whereas if you have a hard, tangible product, mm-hmm. you don't see that happening near as mm-hmm. much.
Right. So what is that's genericizing? What is dilution?
Well, most people understand that trademark infringement is when there is unauthorized use of a trademark or a mark that's confusingly similar with one.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone launched a new soft drink and instead of Pepsi it was Let's See, mm-hmm. you know, there would be some confusion there. So that would be an example of trademark infringement. But in trademark dilution, there are situations where there isn't trademark infringement, but the value of a famous trademark is reduced because of the way someone else is using the trademark.
Hmm.
So, for example, Tiffany jewelry, most people recognize Tiffany as being associated with jewelry. If I were going to launch a new automotive product like Tiffany air filters, there wouldn't be any confusion between the Tiffany jewelry line and the air filter line, but my use of Tiffany with automotive products could reduce the value of the Tiffany trademark.
Mm-hmm.
So that would be diluting their mark, and they would be able to come after me for that.
But could they really?
Yes.
What if your name was Tiffany?
Well, with it being a famous trademark, they would still be able to do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, the reason we're having this conversation is because more and more, as you grow your small business into the 21st century, you're gonna have to be more adamant and more concerned and more pay more attention to your own brand, your company name, the products you create, the services you create. You're going to have to pay, even if you haven't registered them, even if you haven't trademarked them, even if you don't, you know, we're not talking about a patent, you're going to have to be more and more, pay more and more attention because, David, today there are thousands, millions more competitors for each one of us than there were, you know, when I was coming up in the marketplace all those many years ago.
Absolutely.
Especially across state lines, across country lines, across the, you know, the oceans because of the internet. And we're going to get David to help us with this, understand more about this and how we can make sure it doesn't happen to us and that we don't do it ourselves. Right after these messages, it's Tony Tell. David Dossie is our guest. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me. We're back. 17 Till, thanks for hanging around with us. David Dossie is our guest. David, give us your website, please.
It is invention-protection.com.
Invention-protection.com, and that's not your grandfather's patent attorney website, folks. You might want to check that out and see the kind of things that if you'd like to know what an intellectual property law firm does and how they do it, that's a good place to find out. Okay, we're talking about trademark dilution, and David, when in 1970, let's say, if you were in Columbus, Ohio, which is right there near you, in a small business, you didn't have that much concern for trademark dilution as a small business, did you?
No,
because you had. Even though Columbus is in a small town, you know, people who were on the other side of town almost weren't your competitors. It was almost people who were right, you know, next door to you who were your competitors for many things. Today, people on the other side of the planet are your competitors.
Exactly.
Because of the internet and because of the way people are comfortable traveling around and shopping around and everything. So it's much more difficult, and much more, it takes a lot more energy, maybe a lot more intention, to make sure that your trademarks don't get diluted.
And nowadays there are so many more trademarks that would be considered famous because, you know, everyone recognizes the value of branding and the amount of money spent on marketing and building your brand. I was just trying to think of a couple during the break, and immediately Aflac comes to mind.
Yep.
You know, and these marks have become famous in a period of a couple years.
Yeah, Aflac is now the most recognized brand, I think, in the world.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and that, because of the duck.
Mm-hmm.
That's what my friends at Aflac told me, and I may not have the exact geography correct there, but I think that's the case because of the duck. And as you say, the duck's only been around 4 or 5 years, maybe something like that. So what do we do as small business owners to minimize the dilution of our brands? And how do we make sure that we don't infringe on someone else?
Right. As a small business owner, you're not likely to have someone dilute your brands because your brand has to be famous, and it has to be famous to the general consuming public. So unless you are a very good small business and your marks are famous, someone's not going to dilute your brands. You need to be more concerned about a larger company with famous brands accusing you of diluting their brands.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, if I think of, when I hear the word champion or the trademark champion, I either think of spark plugs or sportswear,
right,
sweatshirts and what have you.
Right.
And if I were going to start a new heating and cooling business, and I decided this week I was going to call it Champion Heating and Cooling, I need to be concerned that although I know there's not going to be any confusion, none of my consumers are going to think I'm associated with Champion Spark Plugs, so there's no trademark infringement. The two companies I mentioned, the spark plugs and the sportswear, could have a very legitimate case for trademark dilution against me.
Even though I'm a small business?
Yes.
Well, I actually know someone whose name is Champion.
Okay.
So would they be able to prevail in a case like that?
Well, if it's famous, the exceptions for names, surnames, is, I believe it's still in force, but I'm not positive. This all just came about because of an act, the Trademark Dilution Act, which was signed October 6th by President Bush, and it's really an example of what Congress can do to overrule the Supreme Court, mm-hmm. and that's how this whole act came about.
So if I wanted to say jimsgoogle.com, if I could actually go get that, jimsgoogle.com, would I have a problem with that?
Oh, you would be sued for trademark infringement.
Before the end of the day, right?
Right.
But I guess the thing that I'm talking about and that we're both talking about is one would be just an accidental type of thing. You just thought, wow, Champion, that's a good name. Maybe you didn't even know they made spark plugs.
Right.
You know, that there was a spark plug like that or a line of clothes. You just said, I like Champion. That's a great name. I want people to think we're champions. The other one would be what I was talking about, where people try to get cute with it, mm-hmm. and think that they could, you know, there actually are people out there who don't realize that there is such a thing as a trademark and legal protection for it.
Right. And I know recently there was a case that was involved Google, and a company had an adult entertainment search engine that they had done a spin-off of the word Google on, as you can imagine.
Wow.
And they, Google took it seriously. Cracked the whip.
They shut them down, huh?
Yeah.
How about that? All right, well, what else do we need to know about this?
Well, as a small business owner, the thing you need to know is if you're starting a business now, this needs to be consideration. So and I tell clients this all the time. Anytime you're starting a new business, when you're coming up with the name, you preach all the time how important brands are and what have you. You need to invest the money to have a trademark search performed just so you know what else is out there similar to what you plan on using.
So at least when you take – if you actually go in a certain direction, you know what the risks are before you get started. You might decide to take them.
Exactly. You just need to be able to make an educated decision. And it's unfortunate, but we see it every week, firms that new businesses, small businesses that are getting the beat down from a large business because they didn't do their investigation up front in an effort to save $500 to $1,000.
I actually know of a small business that happened to. I don't think I've told you this story before, but I'll mention it when we come back after these messages. And we'll be right back. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're visiting with our good friend, David Dossie. Stay with us.
Of your heartstrings that put your love, give me such a thrill. But your love don't pay my bills. I need
what I want.
That's what I want.
That's what I want.
That's what I want.
We're back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and David Dossie is our guest. We're talking about trademark dilution, primarily the dangers that you could get into naming your business, calling, developing brands for your business that could be get you into trouble. It's not just about making sure other people don't dilute your brands, but David, I could see where people could have your brand diluted locally.
Sure.
You know, it doesn't have to be. You said it need to be famous, but I could see where you could be famous for a certain thing in your area, and somebody could dilute your brand locally. Would you have a claim there?
Most likely, you wouldn't. One of the changes with this act was.
Well, that doesn't seem fair.
Yeah. Well, they changed the definition of what a famous mark is, and you used to be able to be famous within a niche industry. So, if you made machine tools, you could have a product that was famous in that industry. But now famous trademarks have to be famous to the general consuming public.
So if somebody came back and started an intellectual property law firm of Dossie and Gallagher with protection-invention.com, they could do that?
Probably.
Yeah. I just reversed everything in David's right. company name. And, you know, I was telling you about this little company. It was an ice cream place. And let's just say that the ice cream place was in Nashville, Tennessee. It wasn't, but let's just say that it was, and it was called Jake's Ice Cream. Now he'd been there a long time, And somebody in, say, Louisville created a franchise for Jake's Ice Cream. And this little company in Nashville, even though Jake's Ice Cream in Louisville didn't plan to and never did put a franchise in Nashville, they actually were able to make that guy change his name, and they basically put him out of business.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not sure he hadn't been Jake's Ice Cream longer than they were.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, on one hand, with famous trademarks, I can understand when a company has invested millions and millions in a mark. Like, doing research for this, I came upon some information about Accenture Consulting and how much money they spend to make that mark famous. And it was close to $1 billion a year, I believe, mm-hmm. with advertising and everything. Mm-hmm. So I could understand that they should have some protection, that I couldn't open Accenture Legal Services, mm-hmm. even though it's not business consulting per se. They should be able to do that. But there are a lot of fine line cases where you feel like it is the large companies really cracking down against small business.
Well, yeah, but the point is, folks, is you got to be realistic about this sort of thing before you go wandering off. What are some other things we need to know?
Well, the main thing is, you know, at least get on Google. When you're starting a business, type in the names that you want have in mind and see mm-hmm. what comes up. You know, you can save a lot of legal fees just by doing that ahead of time.
Shouldn't you? And another thing to do would be to go to, you could go to NetSol.
Sure.
Network Solutions, and type mm-hmm. in your what you think will be your website, and it'll tell you who's, you know, who the company is, who has, if they have something that, you know, if there is someone out there who has the website you want. You know, you might want, before you go making little variations off of that, you know, if they don't have .net, which you'd think that they would, if they don't have .net or .biz or whatever, .us, you might want to make sure you know who that is before you start wandering down that road.
Right. We often see companies that are coming out with new products, and when they're coming up with product names, if the, you know, .com isn't available for that product name, they'll move on and continue down their list,
right.
Because now that is often so important in branding campaigns.
Mm-hmm. How big a deal is .com these days?
It's becoming less and less every day. Yeah.
Are other suffixes becoming more acceptable?
I think they are. Now the thing to watch out for is if someone has your .com and you get .biz. You want to make sure that they're not using that URL as a trademark, because if they are, you could infringe their trademark
right.
by using it, even though it's the .biz.
Exactly. That's what I was saying. When, you know, even it's not enough just to go to Google, folks. You probably ought to go to NetSol Network Solutions and find out who's got it. It's a lot more complicated than it used to be, isn't it, David?
Absolutely.
And aren't you glad about that?
It keeps us going.
There you go. Hey, David, thanks for being here. Good job today again.
Well, thank you very much.
David Dossie, ladies and gentlemen, with Gallagher & Dossie. That's invention-protection.com, right, David? I think that's right. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.